GOAT, G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time. Maybe you heard that, you know, if you watch sports, some of us, I know we do it. And so people debate about who's the GOAT in basketball. You know, I think it's Michael Jordan. Some people think it's LeBron James, you know. Who's the greatest of all time? You know, every sport, every arena, every athletic discipline has that. That people, you know, Tiger Woods, I think golf will be the greatest of all time. I mean, that might be debatable, but people's like, you know, yes, because of his numbers, he has to be the GOAT. And that's what they call him now, the greatest of all time. Maybe you've seen it. So, in football, maybe Tom Brady, I mean, when you think of the rings, this man, maybe he's the GOAT. Muhammad Ali, perhaps, in boxing. You know, he himself said, I'm the greatest, you know, but that was just his opinion. So let's see what people think about it. So who's the GOAT? So, you see, everyone tried to find out who is the greatest of all time in different categories, sports and arena. The reason I said that, because during Jesus' time, you know, he got into a lot of trouble with the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Herodians. And so they saw Jesus as a threat to them. I mean, you know, obviously whatever Jesus is proclaiming and teaching did not go very well with the religious leaders. Now, think about that for a moment. The religious leaders were supposed to introduce people to God. Now, the Son of God comes along and they hated him. They did not like Jesus a bit. And so the Pharisees, which their name means the righteous one. You know, I mean, you knew where a Pharisee came because even how they dress, it's almost like they would not, you know, they complained to Jesus one time because Jesus and his disciples did not wash their hands before they ate. And then it's like, you know, that was a ritual, you know what I mean? You need to do those things. And it's like, how, you're not from God because you're not doing those rituals. So you know the story. Jesus got in trouble with them many times. Now, there was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And let me give you an analogy that you totally understand. It's like Republicans and Democrats. They did not like each other. But for the purpose of condemning Jesus, they joined forces. Imagine that, like Jesus is a independent candidate, and these two major candidates, like, you know what, to get rid of Jesus, let's join forces. Imagine that. I mean, they don't even believe the same thing. Pharisees believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not. Pharisees believed in angels and demons. Sadducees did not. And they decided to join forces just to get rid of Jesus. I mean, you see the animosity that existed in the first century because they wanted to get rid of Jesus. And they began to ask questions to Jesus, which is interesting. Asking questions, not because they wanted to know, but it's almost, you know, when somebody asks questions, not to gain knowledge, but just to find out how you will answer that question. That's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They will ask Jesus all kinds of questions to him, trying to make him stumble in his word. You know, maybe he says something, and now we can say, you said it. You know, but imagine this. You try to outsmart the Son of God. How is that going to go? So, first, all the religious leaders took a shot at Jesus. The Sadducees came asking questions about the resurrection, which they did not believe in. Which is like, you know, and it's like, Jesus, you know, after the resurrection, let's talk about marriage now. And Jesus was just answering the question one by one. And they asked questions about, is it lawful? Is it okay to pay taxes to Caesar? Remember when Jesus got the coin? Like, give to God what is God, give to Caesar what is Caesar. And then, another question they asked, John's baptism. You know, Jesus asked them, was it from God or from men? And they were just like, if we say from God, Jesus is going to say, but why didn't you follow it? But if we say from men, that everybody knows that John came from God. So the Pharisees said, well, we don't know. And then Jesus said, but I don't know either. So it was just like they tried to trap him, but they could not. Because you cannot outsmart the Son of God. So Matthew 22, this is the context that you're going to see. Because finally the Pharisees heard that Jesus silenced the Sadducees. So the Pharisees got together and said, you know, let's one more shot at Jesus. Let's see, we're going to make him stumble. And so Listen to this question they're going to ask, because they're going to ask Jesus, what's the GOAT? What's the greatest commandment? I mean, for goodness sake, you guys know the law. You should know who the greatest commandment is. But they wanted to ask Jesus to see if he says something differently, and now we can trap him. So What's the GOAT? What's the GOAT? What's the greatest of all time? What's the greatest commandment right here? So Matthew 22, you got your Bibles. Verse 34 through 40. 34 says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, an expert of the law. So let's bring the big guns now. Let's bring a lawyer, somebody who's really an expert, smart guy, expert in the law, to ask Jesus this question. So remember the context. This Pharisees heard Jesus silence the Sadducees. The Sadducees were asking questions. Jesus answered each one of them. So the Pharisees said, let's take one more shot at Jesus. So they heard that he silenced the Sadducees. So they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, an expert of the law, asked him a question to test him. Notice here, the question is not to gain knowledge. You know, when kids ask questions because they truly don't know, it's to test him. In my years of ministry, I have had people sitting on Sunday school that you know that they asking questions just because they want to see what I will answer. It's almost like, yeah. But you know, they know the answer, but it's like, let me see how they will respond. So he says, this is the question, teacher. Now it's interesting, they call him Jesus, rabbi, teacher, you know, but it's trying to bribe him. So teacher, they said, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Wow. Teacher, what is the GOAT, the greatest of all time? What is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, you and I need to understand the law had hundreds of commandments. It's almost like, you got to pick one, Jesus. What's the greatest? I mean, you have so many commands over there in the law, in the all Old Testament. What is the greatest? Like I said, he knew the answer to that, but it's to see what Jesus was saying. Then Jesus is quoting the Shema, Deuteronomy. He said, the greatest commandment is this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the first and greatest commandment. That's the GOAT. The greatest of all time. That's the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. It's similar. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said. But you notice the question, like I said, it was because they wanted to test Jesus. The greatest commandment to love is to love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And that love that he's talking about is what Eli was talking about, the agape love, the kind of love that God loves you and I. And so, because yes, there are so many different loves, like we heard through the meditation, but this is the love that he's talking about, always how God loves you, and it's kind of love that he expects you to love him. Loving God with all your soul, heart, soul, and mind is the greatest of all commandments. The heart. How you love God with your heart. But you know, the heart is the center of your feelings, your emotions, the desire that would drive your action. That's what the heart is. So when you're loving God with your heart, you're loving him with your feelings, with your action. I mean, whatever it is you're doing, you know that you're doing it because you love God. The soul, sometimes in the Bible, is used as a synonym for the spirit or the self. Some people will call that it's the energy that you have, the energy that motivates you to do things. That's the soul. You know, when people say, man, you got to put some more soul into that. Like, you got to, that type of energy we're talking about. The soul is also the breath of life. It's almost like how you love God with all your soul. It's almost every breath you take. You remember? I think it's a song, it's called The Police. Every breath you take, every move you make, I'll be watching you. So it's like with everything you got, with the soul, like the intensity you have, the energy to do things, that you love God with that. And the mind, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The mind is your will. We all have a will. Some people are strong will, you know. So our intellect, our thinking. So loving God even with our thoughts. You know, sometimes when we talk about like, oh, remember what Jesus told Peter, like, get behind me, Satan, because you don't have in your mind. So right now, you're not thinking God's thoughts. You're not thinking clearly. So sometimes, I mean, I admit it to you, we don't always think godly thoughts, do we? Sometimes, like, you know, remember the last sermon that I did, we had to wrestle to think more in terms of God's kingdom rather than Satan's kingdom. And so that we love God with our mind, even with our intellect, with the intelligence that he has given you, that you use that to love him. So Jesus said that's the greatest commandment. In other words, Jesus is saying to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind is to love God with everything you got, with who you are, with your whole self. To love him with your feelings, your emotions, your actions, your energy, your breath, the breath you take, with all the thoughts. I mean, to love God with all that. In other words, to love God with the whole person, with the whole being. We are to love him with every part of our being. You see, loving God is all with all our being is the greatest commandment. The teacher of the law, the lawyer, wanted to know what was the greatest commandment: to love God. Jesus said, and then he just didn't leave it there. He said, hey, I'm going to give you a second one, the second greatest, because you know, if you look at the athletes, you would say, well, maybe Michael Jordan is the greatest, and maybe LeBron James. I mean, he's also a goat. So Jesus is going to give him another goat, another greatest of all time commandment to the Pharisee. He said, but the second is like it. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God and loving people as you will love yourself is the greatest commandment of all time. But how do we love people? Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount something called the Golden Rule. I mean, one way for you and I to start loving people is like, treat people the way you want to be treated. Do to others, remember, as you will have them do to you. Jesus said, love your neighbor as you will love yourself. You know, many of us love ourselves a lot. Like, I mean, you dress nicely, you put on makeup because you love yourself. So now apply that, love your neighbor as yourself. It's almost like, treat them the way you want to be treated. And we heard so many things through the Bible about loving one another as I have loved you, serving one, you know, we do that to the neighbor. Now it's interesting because Jesus connected these two commandments. John connects him. John, the best friend, best buddy of Jesus, their gospel writing, also the one who wrote the book of Revelation, he connects this loving God and loving people. And perhaps that can it will help us understand it better. Ellie used that text earlier today, and he and I didn't talk that, you know, but I'm going to use it again right here. This idea in 1 John 4, 20. It says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, the Bible says he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. You see, the two gotta go together. I have heard people say, you know, that, you know, I just wanna do God and myself. I don't wanna go to church, I don't wanna do people, because you know, it's almost like the Bible's telling you cannot do that. God from the beginning created humanity in connection, in companionship, and so you cannot just love God by yourself. It's almost like, I want to just be a Christian, me and my God, and then the God would tell you, and you're reading the Bible, God's telling you, but you need other people around you. You know, it's like a family, you know what I mean? It's like, no, you got to have more people around you. You cannot just love God and hate people. It's a contradiction, biblically speaking, because you show God that you love him by how you love people. Remember, John says, like, how can you claim to love God whom you have not seen and you hate your brother whom you see every day? So, and he says, if anyone says, I love God and hate, now that's a strong word, don't you say, hate your brother? But a lot of times people think that hate is the opposite of love. Or you dislike your brother for whatever. He said, I love God, but I hate my brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has seen, whom he has not seen. And this commandment, here it is, we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. John tells us that we show we love God by loving people. And you know, at Staten Island Christian Church, if you look in our mission statement, it's like loving God and loving people. Now, hear me out. We don't We don't do that perfectly. Nobody does that perfectly, but that's why we have church. That's why we encourage one another to emulate God, that we love God and that we show that we love Him by loving other people, even those ones that we might not like. And believe me, we all have people in our family that you know, they're tough to love. You know, I would just leave it like there. But God's calling me to love Him and her. You know, and then you find yourself like, Lord, maybe not him. So no, I want you to love him too. Newsflash, Jesus had 12 men. You think that they were easy to love? John and James, they were called the sons of thunder. Remember that, Thomas? Because of the attitude. And at one time, Peter and the other guys got mad at John and James because they came to Jesus secretly and said, hey, in your kingdom, may one of us be at your right and at your left? They didn't talk to the other disciples. They was like, they had the honor. And then, you know what's going to happen to the other disciples? Like, really? Really, John? Really, James? Like, you know, you want the right hand and left hand of Jesus. And forget about us. And at one time, they were arguing about who was the greatest. Remember that too? He said, Jesus, who's the greatest in your kingdom? And Jesus got a little kid and said, when you become like this little child, you'll be great. You want to be great? Be humble. Because he who exalts himself will be humble. He who humbles himself be exalted. So those disciples were not easy to love. We all have people in our midst. But like, you know, how do we apply the love of God? And I think God does that for a reason. He always want to bring people around us that will be tough to love so that we apply that, put that in practice. And the more that you do it, the easier it will become eventually. And you're going to find yourself like, wow, you know, I used to really hate people like that. But now it's like, doesn't bother me anymore. You know, you start to feel like God is working in you and love. I mean, I pray that for him to work on me, that I love people no matter the race, the economic status, whether they're Republican or Democrats, that I still love them the way that God would love them. And you know, that's not easy to do. But my friends, to that has God called us all. Loving God and loving people. Jesus said the greatest is this, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And I give you one more, love your neighbor as you will love yourself. If you do, now, this is shocking right here. Listen to the next words of Jesus. He said, if you do these two commandments, you fulfill the whole law of God. Let's just read that part right there when Jesus said, verse 40, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. On these two, loving God and loving people, hang the law and the prophets. Jesus is saying that you fulfill the whole Old New Testament, the whole law of God by loving God and loving people. Isn't that amazing? He summed up the whole thing. Which is, he made it simple, like loving God and loving people, by doing those two, you're fulfilling the whole plan of God. Now, it's interesting that Jesus connected them, loving God and loving people. If you were to look at the Ten Commandments, the first five had to do with you and your relationship with God. God said to you, don't have any other gods before me. Don't make yourself an image. Remember the Sabbath. So have a day that I'm going to dedicate for you that you rest. Honor your father and your mother. God is so serious about that because, you know, like I'm bringing you, I brought you to this earth through your mom and dad. Honor them because by honoring them, you're honoring me. God said it in the law. By doing the first five commandments, they're dealing with you and God. Check out the other five. They deal with you and your neighbor. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false witnesses against, you know, don't covet your neighbor's property or your neighbor's wife. So loving God and loving people. One more. Of all the commandments you read in the Old Testament, of all the commandments, you can just open in Leviticus anywhere. You can do that as a test. And I would challenge you to do it. Watch. Either had to do with loving God or loving people. If that law was given, like when somebody slap you in the face, do this, like eye for eye, you and your neighbor. And the law, everything in the law had to do with loving God or loving your neighbor. Everything. You know, that's what Jesus said. The whole law is summed up in these two commandments, loving God and loving people. The entire law. The New Living Translation said the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments to love God and love people. Jesus is saying, if you keep these two commandments, you are keeping the whole law. You know, sometimes we have people ask, like, oh, you know, there's so many laws in the Bible. You're like, I don't know that you can. That's true. There's a lot of, you know, there's like more than 360 commands out there, you know, based either they're dealing with God or dealing with your neighbor. How are you going to keep them all? Loving God and loving people. By doing those two, Jesus said, you're fulfilling the whole law of God. As followers of Jesus, we're called to love God with all our being, heart, soul, and mind, with ourselves, who we are, and we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And by doing that, we're fulfilling the whole counsel of God. Remember the words of James, he said, we cannot claim to love God if we are not loving other people. You know what I learned about these two commandments? Loving God and loving people had to be done simultaneously, not sequentially. What do I mean by that? A lot of people will say, well, I'm going to do this one first and then I do the other. Mm-mm. That's sequentially. One, two. Simultaneously, it's at the same time. For example, if you get, in order for you to create music, sequential is this. I get my fingers in here. One, and now I do this. Two. You cannot play a song like that. You have to do it simultaneously, at the same time. Loving God and loving people had to be done at the same time. That's what John says. You cannot claim to love God if you hate your neighbor. So you show God that you love him by loving your neighbor. Loving God and loving people had to be done simultaneously. We had to do that at the same time. Not like some people say, well, I'm going to just love God first and maybe I can. At the same time, we had to do, as hard as that might be for many of us, but that's why the beauty of church, the beauty, because we are broken people. You know, we all struggle loving certain people. You know, I mean, some of us might struggle even with racism and some, you know, but that's why we need Jesus. And he said, hey, start by loving God and loving people. And, you know, by doing that, you're fulfilling the law. My prayer for all of us, depending where we are with loving God and loving people, is that we continue to imitate Jesus. He's going to be the ultimate role model for all of us. And he has given us the greatest of all time, of all commandments. It is to love God with everything that you are, your heart, your soul, your mind. And then he said, love your neighbor as you will love yourself. The world needs to see that from us. They will look at the church, and when they see people from different denominations, different ethnicity, different races, that we still can treat each other as brothers, that, man, that's something, eh? That's contagious. And Jesus said, even by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. It's not when you go to church dressed up pretty and go with your Bible, oh, that's a disciple of Jesus. Not even that. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples when you love one another. When they see that you show that love. So, no wonder that songwriters say, all the world needs is love, true love. So, loving God and loving people, we fulfill his mission. We fulfill the whole counsel of God. And to that has he called each and every one of us. Would you pray with me this morning? Father,